It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. We turn to Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson to help us with context on the latest developments in state politics. Call in with questions about legislative issues and what you're wondering about in the state Supreme Court race. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Sean, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, so the Supreme Court race could shift power in the high court. This race is heating up. Talk about what is now unfolding in the race as we're about 3 weeks away from the April 4th election.
I think what you're seeing in the race at this point is a massive ad war kind of starting to take shape, especially, for a spring officially nonpartisan Supreme Court race. The amount of money flowing to Wisconsin right now kind of reflects the fact that it is one of, if not the most important races in the country this year. And so huge money is flowing here, and you're seeing that part of the campaign play out in front of you. You're not seeing the candidates going around the state debating because turns out they're only going to have one of those debates before the election on March 21st, before the State Bar Association. And you're also not seeing what's happening behind the scenes right now for the campaigns, really, which is a turnout operation, trying to get their voters out there for a race that's going to have high turnout, really high turnout for a Supreme Court race. But I think what you would consider low turnout if it was like a race for governor or a race for president, this going after more dedicated voters in a race like this.
Okay, let's turn to the messaging and what's before our eyeballs. What are the candidates saying in these ads?
Well, what you're seeing from Judge Jana Protasiewicz, that the candidate who's supported by Democrats, is she's painting her opponent, former Justice Dan Kelly, the candidate supported by Republicans, as extreme. She's saying that, she's pointing out that he worked for an anti-abortion group. One of her recent ads said he's for sale, really trying to paint him in a way that, potential Democratic voters are going to know kind of who's who in this race. And, I guess also try to steer independent voters or, those people who maybe haven't made up their minds to vote in an election like this, to steer them away from him by hitting him on issues that are, popular issues, I guess, trying to paint him as the anti-abortion candidate in the race in a big way.
And let's listen to part of an ad from Jana Protasiewicz criticizing candidate Dan Kelly over this case he planned to hear where the plaintiff was a campaign donor.
What does it cost to buy off a judge? For extremist Dan Kelly, he's for sale for $20,000. In 2020, Kelly conveniently changed his mind about whether to judge the Tim Zegnego case. Kelly had recused himself. Then he pocketed $20,000 in contributions from Zegnego and his family, and Kelly unrecused himself so he could judge the case.
Okay, so you kind of have to listen closely to the details of this ad. How do you is former Justice Dan Kelly responding to this issue over recusal?
Yeah, I mean, the details of this case, we could have a very long list here, Kate, of all the procedural steps that this case took, but it might jog your memory to just remember this was what we called the voter purge case a lot in 2019, in 2020, and 2021. It was filed by the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, or WILL. The person referenced in the ads, Timothy Zegnego, was the plaintiff in the case. His family gave a total of $20,000 to Dan Kelly in 2019 and 2020. So what happened is Kelly wasn't going to hear the case before his election in 2020. Then he lost in 2020 and he announced that he would hear the case. Kelly is basically saying in response to this latest Protasiewicz ad that she's ignoring those details. Actually, but I mean, he's saying it in pretty harsh terms in a written statement that he gave us, called Jana Protasiewicz, quote, a liar, quote, disgrace to the judiciary. I mean, these are pretty strong terms. We get used to saying pretty strong terms in in politics in the year 2023. But I would say,
but on the bench,
even in a judicial race, I would say that this is going into pretty strong terms between these candidates. You know, Judge Protase was saying former Justice Kelly is for sale, and Kelly calling her a serial liar and a disgrace to the judiciary. That's where the candidates are at right now.
Talking about state politics and the state Supreme Court race with WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson as our guide, you can join in the conversation. Your questions and comments welcome at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's look at what Kelly is saying in one of these ads. The state's largest business lobby is Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. And so here's part of an ad from that group criticizing Judge Protasewicz over her handling of criminal cases.
Sexual assault of an 11-year-old. No prison time. He raped a military veteran. Left her for dead. Just 2.5 years. Raped a mentally disabled 14-year-old. Probation. How the heck did this happen? Janet Protasewicz.
If you could go back in time, would you have ruled any differently?
I would say no.
Okay, so looking at her rulings, how is Protasewicz responding to this?
I guess in general, we'll say, she's saying that these attacks coming from WMC and others are they're attacking a record that I guess she stands by. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get you the exact quote here from them. Right-wing groups, this is from Protasewicz's campaign, quote, right-wing groups are desperate to mislead voters about a record because they know Dan Kelly has never been a judge, full-time prosecutor, or sentenced anyone to prison. So you see kind of these in a Supreme Court race, there's kind of an adage that you don't need to be a judge to run for Supreme Court, but you kind of need to be a judge. And so candidates who run for the court typically have experience as a judge so that when they can, you know, run for the court, they can wear those robes in the ads and say, hey, I've done this before. And it's a formula that works. There's another formula that works in attacks, and in that, you know, when you have been a judge, you have heard any number of cases and you have a record. And so groups like WMC find cases where they argue the sentences are too light. They throw them up in 30-second ads. And so you're kind of seeing that formula play out. Her response here is that Justice Kelly, while he has been a justice, he has not been a judge. And so they're pointing that out, that she has experience as a prosecutor and judge that he never had.
Well, Kelly, having served on the high court from 2016 to 2020, what has Kelly done since he lost re-election to the high court in 2020?
He has been a lawyer for a variety of, I think, Republican causes, including the Republican Party, advised them, you know, in the wake of the 2020 election. You know, he was mentioned in former state GOP chair Andrew Hitt's testimony before the January 6th commission, you know, talking about consulting with Dan Kelly. You know, Justice Kelly has kind of minimized the amount of consulting that went on there, described it as kind of like a, I think, like a half hour conversation or something with Andrew Hitt, the former state GOP chair. You know, Dan Kelly has always been involved with Republicans and Republican groups in his private law practice. And that didn't stop after he left the court and before this latest campaign.
And just quickly here, what does the Republican Party of Wisconsin, you know, we've seen such enthusiastic backing. Why does the party fully back Kelly?
I mean, he has been, I guess, part of the party's apparatus for a while now. Mm. And you have an extremely partisan campaign here this time around where, I mean, just Judge Protasewicz's biggest donor is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And, you know, they're making, enabling her to kind of take control of the TV ad war messaging here because she is the largest spender. So on the Republican side, the Republican Party hasn't done the same thing for Dan Kelly. They support him. But he's getting his financial backing from groups like WMC and from groups that are funded by Richard Uihlein, a GOP mega donor.
Let's bring in Jeff in Delafield. Jeff, what is your reaction to this race?
Yes, one of the narratives that's been out there is that candidate Protasewicz has telegraphed how she'll come down on cases that might come before her if elected to the Supreme Court. And if she's done that, how unusual is that? The narrative is, well, that's never been done before. This is a new for a Supreme Court candidate. Has this ever been done before if she's indeed done that? Thank you.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Sean.
So whenever you're talking about the language that candidates use as they campaign, there's a certain amount of, I think, subjectivity that comes when you try to measure that, right? I would say that Judge Protasiewicz has, in very stark terms, talked about her values, and she always phrases it in those terms when it comes to, abortion. You know, she believes in a woman's right to choose. She has described our state's Republican-drawn redistricting plan as rigged, which is a very strong term to describe a map that could come before the court. She tempers it each time by saying, to be clear, I'm not saying how I would rule in these cases, but, you know, she's certainly sending a message to prospective voters about where she's starting when it comes to these things.
Sean Johnson is WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, been covering state politics here for nearly 20 years. Call in with questions, thoughts, anytime, 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have WPR's Capitol Bureau Chief, Sean Johnson, as our guide to look at recent political developments amid budget writing season. Call in with your questions, your comments about state politics in the 106th Wisconsin Legislature. March floor session gets underway tomorrow. Number to call is 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's look to the Brewers now, Sean. As part of the state budget plan, Governor Evers urging $290 million for stadium upgrades to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. But we've also seen Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss now calling the proposal likely dead. What is at stake here? What are the circumstances?
I think what's at stake here, if you look at the way the governor framed this issue when he introduced the Brewers plan, is that he wants to keep the Brewers in town. He doesn't want them to leave. You haven't heard them kind of make threats like that out in the open. But when the governor introduced this plan, he says, we got to keep Major League Baseball here in Milwaukee for another 20 years. So he's framing it that way, that if we don't do something and we don't find a way for the Brewers to update their stadium, then the Brewers could leave. There is some time, though, because the Brewers lease lasts a few more years yet. And so it's not like this is the year that there absolutely has to be a deal necessarily. But what you have is a massive budget surplus this year. There's a lot of money right now in state government's general fund. And the governor wants to spend $290 million of it on improvements to Milwaukee Brewers Stadium. What you're seeing now from Republicans is, I think, like what you could have entirely predicted about this legislative process, is that they're saying that deal is not going to be it. You know, that they're not ruling out. And when I say they, we're really talking about Assembly Speaker Robin Voss here, who kind of talked about it recently. They're not ruling out a deal for the Brewers, but the one that the governor laid out is not what they're going to embrace. And they kind of look back at what happened with the Bucks Stadium, the Bucks Arena, which was, you know, 8 years ago now, as their guide for how this should move forward. And, you know, Speaker Voss was very involved in those negotiations.
Right. I mean, what is the tension around using public money on privately owned sports teams and their infrastructure?
I think if you take just like a 40,000 foot view of the issue among the public when this gets polled. Now, I'm not talking about like there's not been polling on the Brewers stadium. But by and large, when you see the public polled about, you know, should the state step in and spend X amount of dollars on an arena for these professional sports franchises, which are typically owned by wealthy people, doesn't always poll well. But people like the Brewers, people like the Bucks, they don't want their teams to disappear. And so there's that tension there. No, I don't think any governor would want to be in charge when a sports team left Wisconsin. And, you know, Speaker Voss hasn't given any indication that he would want to be blamed for that either. There's a little political tension there. I mean, they don't want the Brewers to leave town. They also don't want to hand Evers a huge win potentially. So they have to figure out a deal that everybody can get behind.
And so we'll just have to wait on what that new iteration would entail. I'm going to just reintroduce you here as we talk state politics with WPR's Capital Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. You can join in with your questions along the way at 800-642-1234. Let's turn now to toll roads, Sean. You know, once again, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he wants to renew advocating for our state to adopt a tolling system that would fund roads and bridges. Where is the governor on the idea of tolling?
He didn't. I mean, I think it's safe to say now, with a few budgets under his belt, that the governor is not itching to implement tolling in Wisconsin. I think it was an open question when he first took office. And actually, you did hear a few years ago, before the governor had introduced his first budget, you heard Speaker Voss support tolling. You heard then Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald support tolling. They had kind of tussled with former Republican Governor Scott Walker over the issue, because Walker vetoed a $2.5 million tolling study that probably would have led to tolling in Wisconsin. And so I think in 2019, it was kind of an open question of where is Governor Evers when it comes to tolling. I think in the year 2023, that's less of an open question. He did not introduce it in his budget this time or in the last two times. And I think Evers, often when he talks about roads, he says like all options or something I'll consider, but it's not, tolling is a big step. And, you know, we haven't seen any indication from the governor that it's one he wants to take.
Let's just take a moment here to hear from former State Department of Transportation Secretary Mark Gottlieb, who spoke against tolls on WPR's Central Time.
What's being talked about in Wisconsin is fairly unique, and that is we're talking about converting highways that started out as non-tolled facilities into tolled facilities. And, you know, most tolled roads that you drive on, you go to Illinois or Indiana Turnpike, Ohio Turnpike, those are highways that were built, designed, conceived, and built to be toll roads.
Okay, so the roads we're talking about, not designed and built to be toll roads. Have Republicans brought that up at all?
I don't think that you haven't seen this issue, like, take hold this session.
Okay.
You heard Speaker Voss, when he talked about tolling, he talked about it before the Wisconsin Counties Association, where they're talking about how do we fund roads at large. And Voss could say, and he can say this, you know, I've been saying for a decade, I was just looking back in our archives, Kate, and the first story I did about Robin Voss supporting tolling was in 2012. So he's been saying it for a while, and he can get up there and say, look, I've been in support of a long-term funding source for our roads. But you're not seeing that. I mean, Republicans really haven't started building their alternative to the governor's budget yet. They might be working on it a little bit, but you haven't seen pieces of it come out.
And that's what I'm curious about. What are you watching for next as budget season soldiers on here?
I think what you're going to see in the next couple months, in April, there's going to be four public hearings around the state. But I think the big development that you're kind of watching for here is, what do Republicans think the number is in terms of how much money the state has to work with? Because you've heard Voss, you've heard other Republicans say this $7 billion surplus that the governor's talking about, you know, a lot of that's one-time money. So we can't build a budget based on one-time money with ongoing expenses. And, you know, Evers' budget would leave a large structural deficit if you did everything that he wanted to do the way he wants to do it. But we don't know what Republicans think the number is that they are comfortable working with. You know, how much ongoing, surplus do we have in Wisconsin? Because they've thrown out a few different numbers. and they're still kind of settling on where they are when it comes to those negotiations. I think it's less than what the governor has said, and you know, we'll see what that is. And if they don't think we have enough ongoing money to support all the stuff the governor wants to do, what do you do with this mountain of cash in the general fund? Mm-hmm. Does it just sit there? What's an okay one-time expense to use it on? We haven't heard the guy from Republicans on kind of what's okay to spend one time yet.
Sean, thanks for getting us up to speed.
Thanks, Kate.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's Capitol Bureau Chief. This is a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.